Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lost Talk Radio. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Show. Our host is out today, Meeshawn Williams. She might be joining us later. My name is Justin Jackson, so I will be kicking us off. Today, we will be talking about a hot topic today. That topic is, are Asians being discriminated against? We will also be getting joined by my guest, arriving a little bit later in the show today. B.M. Black Boot. He's going to be joining in with us, talking a little bit, giving us a little bit of his perspective on if Asians are being discriminated against, which is, you know, a hot topic. One of the things I have noticed myself personally throughout, especially, you know, this new era, is that everyone wants to feel like a minority. You know, we have several different groups that are always, you know, coming fast, whether it's, you know, LGBT or Q or whatever, you know, alphabet letter community is. Also, we have, you know, the women's group and, you know, and it's so on and so forth. And I'm not saying, you know, none of these groups are minority groups and, you know, not trying not to define what a minority group is. Yet, what I am saying, though, is that a lot of groups want to be classified as, you know, a minority group and feel that, you know, that they are, you know, they have been oppressed as Black people, you know, and they want to try to make they struggle, which a struggle is a struggle, you know, but they want to try to make themselves look as if and similar to, you know, what Black people have went through. And personally, you know, with this topic, are Asians being discriminated against? You know, one of the things that Black Boot, you are?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here, bro.
Okay. One
keep,
of the
keep it rolling. I'm loving what you're saying right there.
One of the things that, you know, that's being talked about, you know, is like, are Asians being discriminated against? My opinion, sure, they might be discriminated against. I'm not saying that they're not. You know, anyone could be discriminated against. I'm not knocking, you know, someone being discriminated against. And, you know, being discriminated against is never okay. It's never the right thing, you know. But at the same time, we got to also look at, you know, what are we really talking about here? You know, in my perspective, Black Asians have been some of the most discriminatory people on the planet. When we talk about Black Lives Matter and we talk about, you know, the movement that has been gaining so much, you know, energy, you know,
mm-hmm.
One of the things people fail to want to talk about or, you know, feel like that we shouldn't be talking about is that when it comes to, you know, white versus Black, as some might say, or whatever the case may be, it's like, hey, you know, to me, yes, I have been discriminated against by white people, but like if you ask me who's the number one discriminatory, I'm going to tell you an Asian off day, off top. And they'll tell you. I mean, if you ask them about their own culture, they will tell you we're very discriminatory people. You know, and like I know my fiance even has one guy who's an Asian that works with them and, you know, even brought up, you know, something along this topic. And the way he pointed out is that, you know, it's not that they don't like other people. They just like their people more, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait a minute, what? Like, wait a minute. You know, like, I know I didn't just miss that. So, Black Boo, what are your thoughts? Do you believe that, you know, Asians are being discriminated against?
Just to expound on what you were saying, to add to that would be even more the fact that there's been places where our women, they love to go to them little Asian shops and get their little nails and hair did or whatever by them. And then all of a sudden they getting traced out by with broomsticks and different things like that. Asians are proud people as far as discriminating against. They'll skip over our shops to go to theirs or other people's shops. They won't shop at our place, but they'd be damned if you ain't going to come into their place, whether it's eating at their Chinese restaurant or coming in there to get your nails and things done. I found that, you know, when you're black, you think you hear that key word that they keep pushing out there, which is minorities, and you assume that Asians are consider themselves a minority, you know, and that they targeted and discriminated against the biggest, which is racism, the biggest racist, which is white supremacy. You would think that they include themselves in that, but actually they fight with white supremacists.
100%.
I have found that, most groups do that, but they are really, really big on doing that. And one of the things that you got to respect about them, which has got me to where I am as far as in business, is that they believe in their own economic base, and their money flips more times than even white people's money. That's how deep they are with their money. They're flipping their same. Theirs don't leave their communities till like I think 24 times or something like that. I have to look that up. White people's is like 21, something like that. Spanish is somewhere in the teens. And guess what? How many times it flips in our neighborhood? Probably.
Well, I mean,
one.
It doesn't even flip. It leaves our neighborhood within 8 seconds, is what the statistic was. Within 8 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And the thing of it is we have to start practicing group economics. But I think also, just to even expound even a little bit more, is I think whenever I'm seeing this so-called push for Asian discrimination, I'm seeing more and more of us being in those pictures as the attackers. And I'm like, whoa, really? How did they? Excuse me, I'm getting choked up here.
So let me ask you a question here. And for the callers, feel free to call in. The topic today we are discussing is, are Asians being discriminated against? Are they truly being discriminated against? Number 516-531-9540. Now, there has been some hot topics about, you know, Asians, Americans that have been discriminated against. One was a predominant legal case about it was a case against Harvard Law School, where Asian have said that it was more difficult for them to get into the law school than for other races, and that it wasn't fair because they had to compete on a higher level than their white counterparts. And that case was taken all the way to the Supreme Court. And ultimately, I believe in that case, the Asians lost. They could have won, not for sure, but it was based on the actual practice that Harvard was using to bring in different candidates, right? Mm-hmm. In a case like that, you know, do you think, you know, that the Asians was discriminated against on that?
I don't think so necessarily. Mm-hmm. One thing about these other groups, especially the immigrant groups, is it's so much easier for them to get in school, to get money for businesses, they're getting all of the things that we fought for, and we're not getting anything. To even add to that, Biden just recently put in a executive order about discriminating against Asian Americans. And I'm like, wait a minute. You couldn't flip that and even say that for us? When he was asked about reparations, he said he won't do anything for one group. Wow, he should have pushed that in real quick.
Right.
Gives you something to think about when you're talking about bigoted Biden.
No, I mean, you know, that's crazy, you know, to hear that and to, you know, having to even have to think about that. You know, with that being said, and I definitely want to get, you know, our caller's view on this. Are Asians truly being discriminated against? We do have a caller, 8051, you hot on the air with your boy Justin, 8051. You have a question or a comment that you'd like to contribute?
Okay, I would say no. I don't think they're being discriminated against. I might be out here on this limb all by myself, but whenever we are asking for something from the Caucasians, they tend to find another group and make them out, you know, lower than us for their own benefit.
And I agree.
No, because I have been in a lot of Asian shops. I don't eat their food. I don't trust them. And I see how even though a lot of black women buy their hair, they aren't even respectful to them.
Yeah.
And they use us for their own gain. And they will even hire maybe one black person to say, you know, I like black people because I got somebody here. But they put that black person in their shop. So
that's a token black.
Yeah.
Right,
and
right.
Make them feel like they're doing something especially for them, selling them that cheap hair for an astronomical price. So no.
Yeah.
And they don't buy our cars either. And most of them that have relatives still in their homeland send their money back. And a lot of them like to get married just for citizenship. So no, anything they get, I don't feel sorry for them, because I feel sorry for black people who have been done so bad and nobody cares. As far as, you know, they don't care about us. No, none of the races other than black people. And sometimes we don't care about ourselves. So no.
Hello.
Send them back home.
And I definitely appreciate your viewpoint on that. One of the things I want to bring to the topic as well, Black Boot was talking about earlier with Joe Biden pushing through this legislation. And talking about he wouldn't do one thing for one certain group. One thing I do want to bring to the forefront is that when we talk about reparations, the Asians, the Japanese, and the Chinese received reparations after World War I.
Right.
Okay? They received reparations.
Right.
You know, for the damages and the conservation camp that they was in. Like, the government came back and say, hey, that wasn't okay, that wasn't right, and we're going to, you know, make up for that.
And they made amends with them.
Paid them money.
Paid them money without even saying, well, we're not going to give it to this side of the fence because these guys wouldn't know how to handle money. Every time they do something for us or pretend like they're going to, they put out a group. And all they do is send out their little white shields to say, well, this is why I don't want any reparations. I've seen, I don't know, three or four studies, especially here lately, where they put in these people like Herschel Walker. God, he can't even spell the. I'm like, how is he getting on some kind of daggum field of study? But the whole point of the matter is they've always found a way of trying to push us away. The Indians got it. The Jews got it. The Asians got it. Every other group has gotten reparations except for black people. Mm-hmm.
100%. My next thing, you know, throwing out there, you know, that I think is, you know, very important for us to discuss is the fact that when we are talking about, you know, Asian Americans and things of that nature, when it comes to economically, one of the things that they have done is, you know, recruit their own. You go to an Asian massage parlor, you know, what are you going to see? You're going to see nothing but Asians. You go to an Asian restaurant, what are you going to see? You're going to see nothing but Asians. If you go to an Asian, you know, hair store, nail store, whatever the case may be, typically it's nothing but Asians in that facility. You know,
they practice group economics.
Exactly. Yeah, and so my question then becomes, you know, is that discriminatory practice on their part?
I don't think that, especially in this time and era and everything, mm-hmm. I don't believe that's necessarily discriminating. I believe it's more of a economic thing that everybody picked up except for black people. Mm-hmm. Dr. Claude Anderson speaks of powernomics. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're familiar with him or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into that, man. He breaks it all the way down, and how we are still one. We're still only getting 1.5% of the wealth, while everybody else is living large, you know, mm-hmm. because we don't practice group economics.
Mm. So would you say group economics is discriminatory, or would you say group economics is people making sense of how the world's run?
Well, I think it makes sense because, well, think of this. If you have life insurance and you die, where's it going to go to?
Your family.
Is it going to everybody? No, it's going to your family. Exactly. So this is one of the things that we have grown accustomed to becoming more of a dependent group rather than everybody else, because we are too shy, a little whatever, about going out and having our own businesses and doing our own professional stuff to build up our own communities. Like a lot of places, like we're the only ones that are expecting our oppressors to fix our situations in our own communities. And that's just like saying, hey, Mr. Devil, can you help me, you know, in any way get myself together? Now, what does that look like? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These guys come in here, particularly the Asians, come in here, and they build up their Asian community. Mm-hmm. You know, every big town has, you know, even this little small town has their own little Asian community. They have more, we have so many Asian restaurants, and we even have the hair salon thing or whatever, and this is a very small community. We have even the Arab over there. He has the gas station. He got the gas station. He has the liquor store, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
That doesn't go back to our community. Of course, you know, you have the white, you know, dominant society that runs everything. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's very important that we start building our own economics. And the very first thing I tell anybody to do is start either read or even just check out one of the videos about power economics by Dr. Claude Anderson. He goes into it. It's very informative.
Okay. And like I said, I want to get the callers involved. 1-6-531-9540. Even if you disagree, I would love to hear what your perspective is. And if you do agree, I would still love to hear what your perspective is. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or anything they want to contribute to this subject tonight, feel free to press 1. We get you live on the air. And just going into the next segment, we got 1-2-3-3 that I'm bringing hot off the press. 1-2-3-3. Thank you for coming in, calling in tonight. Wish you have a question or a comment.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fantastically.
Okay. I feel like Asians are not being discriminated against.
You are a little muffled. You are a little bit muffled.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to talk a little bit about it. I don't feel like they're being discriminated against, at least not on the level of Black people. I feel like, I work with like one agent. I work in like a classroom with about 5 to 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one Asian man, and like there was maybe like 2 or 3 Black people, and then like maybe 2 or 3 white people at times. And the Asian man was like never looked at. Like it was always Black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was just kind of put to the side as someone like that everybody liked. And like there was like Black and white conversations, but like the Asian man never came up unless somebody was asking about like food or something.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it didn't feel like anyone was being discriminated against. At times, Black people felt like they were being discriminated against. It wasn't necessarily from the Asian man, but it was always like just a Black and white thing. And growing up in school, like there were never a lot of Asians around me, but like the Asians that were there, like I didn't feel like they ever got discriminated against in school like the Black people did, or not even ever. I mean, not that I can recall. I don't really feel like they're getting discriminated against on, like, a major level. I mean, I'm sure white people probably discriminate against everybody, so there's probably some time, but I don't think it's anything major.
Have you been to a... Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
I feel like maybe if it's... I feel like if there's all white people in the room, and then maybe, like, an Asian there... then maybe white people might show discrimination. But, like, if you're in a room with white people and then there's Black and Asian people, like, the racism is just going to go towards the Black person.
I'm sorry, but I missed a whole lot of what you were saying because I don't know why, but it sounds like you're in a cup or something there, sweetheart. Hello? Caller?
Can you hear me better now? Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Way better.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was a fail. I tried some new headphones, and apparently it was a bad recommendation.
It was crazy. It was like, whoa. All right, what was the gist of what you were saying?
I think what she was pretty much...
discriminated against like Black people are. I'm not saying they don't face any discrimination, but I don't feel like it's on a Black person's level.
Yeah,
I definitely. And one of the things I want to put out there, while we're going, on this topic, one of the things I do want to point out is, when I think about the Asian communities and being discriminated against, one of the things I want to bring to people's attention is. Back, I believe it was early 90s, late 80s. I believe it's like I want to get it correct. But back when Rodney King, was beat,
mm-hmm.
down in the streets
mm-hmm.
by the police officers, that was
mm-hmm.
that was back, in the early 90s, 92.
Yeah.
Black people riot. you know, they rioted. The officers were found not guilty of any wrongdoing whatsoever. And it was very clear. Like, it wasn't like, maybe this was okay or maybe that. It was very clear, you know, what happened was not okay, right? And so black people took to the streets and began to riot, right? One of the things I want to, you know, bring out there, though, is that when the what the police did is they went and protected the white community. That's what they did. They made sure they had a complete army, you know, set up to protect the suburbs. And so the Asian community was like, yo, we need help as well. The police did not come to the rescue, you know.
No.
Is that discriminatory?
I believe it's discriminatory, of course. The bigger thing on that is all of their shops were in black neighborhoods, correct? The bigger thing than that was they sitting up there, the media, you know, black people went out there, rioted, destroyed stores, and it was mainly Korean stores in their black community. Mm-hmm. And the white media was quick to say, hey, you're tearing up your own community.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were going against all the Asians that was making all the money off of them and now putting it back in black neighborhoods. Not saying it was right or anything, but that's one. That's another thing that I was thinking about whenever that happened. That was a big time there.
When I asked that question, one of the things that I'm trying to pull from was that during that time, one of the things that did happen was Asians took it among themselves to protect their own community. They went to their rooftops of their businesses with rifles, with guns.
Yeah.
And they shot people coming in if they thought that they was looting. You know, they shot them down. Right? And
I think there was like a case or something where he shot a little girl or something like that, and he got away with it or whatever. Wasn't there a case like that during that time?
I'm not aware of that case, you know. But one of the things I was thinking about was the fact that they went to the roof of their businesses with guns and was ready to kill. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, people should have the right to protect their own businesses. You know? I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole concept is when you're looking at being discriminated against, black people come out with a gun, we're instantly a thug, a criminal. Whether we're protecting ourselves, whether we're protecting our business, whether we're protecting our home, you know, it's like, where's your license? Or how did you get this gun? Or, you know, there's a whole interrogation. But, you know, in this instance, it was like, you know, it made sense for them to, you know, protect themselves. And there was no huge backlash on the Asian community by the federal government or state government, you know, about that. And one of the things I want to do is make sure I get all my callers in. 8957, want to get you hot on the air. 8957, do you have anything you want to contribute, question or comment?
Yes, I do. I want to make a comment on what he just said about the Asian shooting somebody black and getting away with that. Yes, that happened in California, and it was a case. And he and the Asian did get off of that. Wasn't charged, didn't go to jail or anything.
Right.
And there was, at the time, a lot of media coverage of that.
Yep. Yes, it was.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, caller, for that. Did you have anything else you want to contribute, caller?
No.
No. Okay, cool.
One thing I also want to add. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. My fault.
Go ahead. What did you want
to
add?
Oh, one thing I also wanted to add was while they're saying these Asians are being attacked, I see them with black eyes, maybe broken bones, something like that. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just that they got instant protection over things as small as that, where we got all our babies, grown folks and everything, getting basically murdered by racist thug cops, and nobody's doing anything against it. I don't know if anybody has seen the questionnaire for the case of what's the case in Minnesota? I can't think of the police officer's name. Anyway, that has to do with good Lord, everything is I'm missing everything.
George Floyd.
Anyway, yeah, the George Floyd case, but it's actually the case against the police officer that actually killed him. And they have things on that questionnaire that says, as far as picking jewelry, things like, are you against cops? Are you against police brutality? Have you ever been arrested, do you feel like you've been discriminated against cops? I'm like, you automatically he's not having a jury of his peers. There is no way that's systematically taking out people who are in his a jury of his peers.
One thing I want to say, though, when you're talking about that, one thing that is, pretty interesting that I do want people to really hear me on, okay, is the fact that when we say a jury of our peers, that means we got to take jury duty seriously. You know, it's too many times that, I mean, personally, I feel discriminated against when it comes to jury duty because I've never been asked to be on a jury. You know, I think I would be a great jury.
I have.
You know, I have never been asked to go on a jury. And I've always been registered to vote everywhere I went. One of the first things that I always do, right? And I have never, ever, been on jury selection out of my 31 years. But with that being said, I know a lot of people who have been on jury duty. You know, they talk about, trying to get out of the jury duty and things of that nature. That's one of the things we have to take seriously. That's one of the things that they normalize, jury duty.
But the process, the problem with that is the process automatically eliminates anybody that would fairly be on George Floyd's side. You know,
Even if that questionnaire does that, hypothetically, that's just put it out there, say that questionnaire automatically, systematically, take people out of, selection.
It does.
Right.
It does.
So
I know because I've been selected for jury duty and they were like, well, we don't need you.
Right. No, and that's wrong,
Yeah.
I agree all day. That's wrong, But my thing is
that's probably
that
why you
haven't
been picked.
Well, I never had a questionnaire either. I have never.
Exactly.
I'm not even been picked. I have never even went to the courthouse for jury duty.
Right.
And it's amazing to me, that I.
They don't. They haven't. There's no way for them to pick anybody of their peers because you're not even trying. You're automatically eliminating the individuals who would be intelligent enough, not only intelligent enough, it even has crazy stuff like, have you been to school? I can't even remember all of it. I wish I would have studied it a little bit more. But it was just so blatant and obvious. You can't lie. The way they got it set it up, you couldn't lie about saying, like, let's say that you don't feel like you're being discriminated against in a cop. They have another question out there that flip it back to that. it's kind of like, you know, the ACT and things like that, where it systematically eliminates you.
Right. No, and I get that. I get that. I just think one of the things I want to push out to my viewers is that, one, we do need to take jury duty seriously.
Seriously,
you know,
yeah.
If we want change in our government, like, for example, when, you know, Trayvon Martin killer was set free, you know, we got to take our jury duty seriously. You know, when we talk about, you know, all these cases, and it's like, well, this, that, and the other, we have to show up for jury duty, and we have to take it serious. But one of the things I want to bring attention to is that was a young man who took jury duty serious. The thing was, he worked. He showed up late. This guy, this brother, showed up late to jury duty. Okay, and the judge put him in jail. Put him in jail.
Wow.
Okay, here's the reasoning. Here's the reasoning for putting him in jail. All right, listen to this. He was the only black juror, so they felt he, because he was the only black juror, had an opportunity to bring forth to other jurors to help them, you know, help other jurors see a different perspective, because he was the only black juror. Okay, my thing is, we don't think that's an issue. We don't see a problem with that. Like, are you kidding?
I see a huge problem.
You know, like, first off, this brother woke up and he made it to the jury. He made it there. I think he was like 15, 20 minutes late. Okay. And the judge held him in contempt and sentenced him to one night in jail. And part of his release was he had to write an essay and come to the other jurors and explain to them how important jury duty was. No one talked about that he was the only juror. No one talked about why the real issue here. You know, like, wait a minute. Why is it in 2020 when this happened? I believe it's, if it wasn't 2020, let me Google it. But if it wasn't 2020, it was 2019. But I'm almost for certain it was 2020. Last year. It was last year.
Mm-hmm.
If all my ducks is in a row, it was last year. My thing is, why?
During a pandemic.
In 2020, we only have one black juror.
Wow. And he gets punished.
Oh, of course. Had to spend a night in jail. A lot of people might think, you know, just one night in jail, one night in jail, one night in jail. You know, not that big a deal, right? You know?
Right.
My thing is, it is a big deal. He had his freedom taken away. He had his rights ripped from him for one day. And then on top of that, when we want to look at justice, we have a woman who paid for her daughter to go to school through money laundering and embezzlement and bribery, and she only got 2 weeks.
Exactly.
One is dramatically different than the other. You know?
Exactly.
One is.
What about that little, what about that kid in, at Duke that went to Duke, killed that black girl, and the judge said, well, he's too young to understand, but yet and still you want to put our 14-year-old boys with grown men in prison.
Yeah, quick.
Real
quick.
I mean,
there's several cases where that, you know, this has happened, you know, so the case that I was talking about was actually in 2019. I do apologize. It wasn't in 2019. It was in 2019, October 8, 2019. And he was hit with 10 days in jail for misjury. Order for him to come out, he had to write an essay explaining why jury duty was so important.
Yeah, something even bigger than that. Now that this discriminant, that makes him look bad because he went to jail. while doing jury duty. So what he says in the courtroom don't mean a hill of beans.
Exactly. I mean, it's not that it don't mean anything, because his power as a juror still holds, but it's just the logic. It's like, yo, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know? Like, something ain't
they
right
gave,
there.
They gave him the white not say so treatment.
Right. So all I'm saying is something ain't right though. You know?
No. Definitely.
And for all the callers, you know, 516-531-9540, press 1. I'd love to get you on the air. The topic we are talking about tonight is, are Asians truly being discriminated against? Are Asians truly being discriminated against? I would love to hear your viewpoint. If you have a question, whether you agree or disagree, if you have something, substance that you want to bring forth into this conversation, I would love to, you know, hear from you. And I got a caller hot off the press, 1111. We got you live on the air, 1111.
I like their phone number. This ought to be good.
Hello? Hey, 1111, how are we doing today?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, man, you know, I'm blessed, you know. It was a nice day today, so I'm doing great. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, I was going to ask you, what was the question that you asked, but then you said something about the Asians, right?
Yeah, so the topic tonight is, are Asians truly being discriminated against?
Whether you believe that or not.
Well, I think it depends on what city they're in. You know, it depends on where they're at. I have seen Asians being, you know, discriminated through the years. So it just depends on where they're at, what city they're in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, give us an example of that.
I just think that, you know, it depends on where, you know, what city they're in. You know, everybody don't discriminate them, but I have seen some being mistreated before.
I got a question for you, caller.
Yeah.
Okay. And in your perspective, your opinion, so you can't be wrong in this, right?
Okay.
Do you feel like, which group do you feel like is more discriminatory, white people or Asians?
I think Asians.
I agree.
Yeah.
Funny you say that, because, I mean, even Asians would tell you that. You know? And you know, the reason why I keep bringing that up is, you know, a lot of times when we talk about this white versus black issue, you know, and if police brutality and things of that nature, what a lot of people keep leaving a conversation at is white versus black. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like I said, in my perspective, whites are like the fourth discriminatory people. Fourth. And a lot of people are like, whoa, they're that low on the list in your perspective? I'm like, yeah, Asians are number one. From my experience, you know.
Well, I'm gonna add to that, okay? Because mm-hmm. here's the bigger picture. Those are the more direct ones. Now, as far as discrimination goes, discrimination is discrimination, but racism is way more powerful than anything. And there is no other racism other than white supremacy. Let me state that. On top of that, the white supremacy affects individuals that discriminate, such as the white race or the Asian race, as well as the Hispanic race, even these foreign coon brothers and sisters that come from places like Africa, Jamaica, and everywhere else. They are all being systematically let in to discriminate against us because of white supremacy. It's
Can
a global system. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Let me ask you, if you had a chance to kind of, you know, find ways to fix this or try to work on this, what would you do?
Great question.
I do work on it. I do work on it. And I'm glad you asked that. Oh,
you know what I'm saying is, like, you know, we all know that it is a problem in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a chance to work on, like, bring something positive in order for people to kind of come together without negativity, and what would you do? I think they should make a classroom or do some sort of work training where they have to be around these different races and get to know the person for who they are and not judge them by the color of their skin.
That's great and dandy, but that's not nowhere near. The number one problem in as far as for our society to get over is the fact that we don't practice black economics. That has to be our number one priority. We have to practice black economics. We have to practice generational wealth. We have to practice everything that everybody else does. We have to be a little stingy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying go out there and start attacking white people or Asians or any of that. I'm saying that we have to become our own little force. We have to stop depending upon everybody else to take care of the things that we have to take care of as a people. That's what we have to do. And once people start seeing that, you will begin to have things, people will start respecting you. Let's say that you in a place and you start, you have a business, right? And then you Fred has a business. And all of a sudden you got a black little community of businesses. That is economic growth within itself. I've seen where racist politicians will go to the group that has the economic impact versus just a Joe Schmo off the street. You see what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this one.
You have to teach your kids. You have to teach their kids.
She got a question for you. Like,
yeah,
go ahead, sweetheart. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this right here. You always say, let's fix this problem, but what about the black people killing other black people? How will we fix that problem? To me, I think you should take them up, because a lot of them maybe not as educated or just been in this little huddle and just having, you know how to don't do any better. They go out and they kill other black people and rob them. What about that? I think this is what
it's
I,
just
think.
Like,
I think that you
go
should
ahead.
Take your help this community come down to, you got to go to your lowest port and pull them up, you know, educate them and help them and train them. It needs to be some sort of training for those who are just in a deep down that, you know, want to kill people for their money and rob them and break into their houses and get their stuff. To me, they need to be in some sort of training and, you know, just kind of lift them up.
That's all a part of it.
What would you do to fix that problem? What would you do to fix it if you had the opportunity to do it? What would you do?
It goes back to what I'm doing now. I have my own business. I have black kids working for me. While I'm doing these things, I'm sitting up there educating these guys. These are guys that some of them don't even have fathers, never even had a father in their life. You know,
and it
doesn't matter how or whatever they have. They have people like me, and that's the beginning of an economic structure is being able to start with that. You have your own organization. You have your own security force. You have everything. Once you have something like a business in place, you start thinking about your community. You automatically start doing that because the daggum thing won't work unless you have your community behind you.
Yeah, that's
you understand?
True. But this is what I think. I think that sometimes we have to kind of pull up those that's down, you know, just kind of educate them a little bit. Maybe I just think that sometimes it, you have to go. You see how some people go, some folks in high places go visit people who real did dirt poor and bring them out. Even I seen on YouTube one time, this man, these men went out and they pulled this homeless man up, took him shopping, bought him clothes, and then he, you know, told him he had so many days to find him a job and all this stuff, but he made sure he had plenty of money before he left. See, sometimes you have to go way deep, because we have a problem with more black people killing blacks than a little bit. Little kids are getting killed, stray bullets. Every time you look on TV, they're killing high school kids. Somebody just got killed. What is this thing they do when they beat them, when they be beating them in college? They take turns beating them and they...
you're talking about, yeah,
pledge
hazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another group. That wasn't our group. I don't know unless it's down by where you're at. But I know the
what I'm saying is, sometimes you have to go back and fix these little problems to bring a change. You know, to me, if we're sitting here and we are whining about this and nobody's trying to figure out how we're going to fix it. And there's a possibility we can fix some of this stuff and kind of make it better. You think so?
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, I believe I am. I believe I am a difference. I didn't have people's parents come to me and say, you know, you really did a wonder on my son. He's looking at life on a different angle or whatever. That doesn't matter. My biggest thing is every black person in America has to practice black economics, because the thing of it is when you have things like businesses and things like that, you have to give a damn. You have to. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, let me ask you this right here. I know I'm getting too... Let me ask you this. Now,
no,
so
keep
you,
going. You're preaching.
You're talking about the black people. But let me say if a little Asian child, a little Chinese child came to you and he was so poor, would you help him too? Would you give him that same
look,
lecture?
I'll help anyone, but I'm going to tell you right now. Go ahead. What?
Would you give him that same lecture and helping him as well? Would you, you know, give him a job and you know he don't have anything at home too?
First of all, let me tell you this.
No, are you?
I might not necessarily have the job for him, but I can point him in the right direction. Being a business owner, I have several businesses that are Asian ran, and they'll gladly take that kid in position.
Yeah.
One thing about Asian kids is they don't have that same problem that we have. You know what I'm saying? We have a real big, huge problem in our community. Huge. And every time we get to talking about it, and don't nobody want to do anything, well, I feel like I'm doing something. You know what I'm saying? Because the fact that I'm changing people's lives, you know, I'm giving them an opportunity to do things. I'm not only am I giving them a job or whatever, even the homeless man, you went past that guy. Even the homeless man, he can sweep, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I give him $20. But I not only do I keep these kids to teach them that, I also teach them how to hustle up a job, how to make a resume, figure out what their real interests are. Like, a lot of kids don't even know what their interests are. Every other kid in America knows by high school what they want to be and how they want to do it. Our kids have no clue, because we haven't been structured enough to show our kids what to do.
All of mine were on the road. All of them.
What was that?
Why? Because when they were growing up, it was all about...
I didn't understand. What did you just say? All of yours what?
All of mine was on the road. It was all about... You can do anything you put your mind to. I've always instilled that in them from young on up. And I used to teach them.
How far does that go for real, though?
Okay, well, my oldest daughter was on the dean list in school, in college. And she went to college twice.
Okay, so where is she at now?
It goes a long way. If you believe in your child, of course, they're going to believe
in themselves.
What does
she do? What does your child do?
Psychiatrist.
Huh?
She's a psychiatrist? Yes.
All right. And what your other kids do?
It starts when you're young. If you instill that, they look up to their parent. If that parent believes in them, you know, you never know. You might have doctors and lawyers coming out. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, just to interject here real quickly, you know, I think that's amazing that, you know, your daughter was able to come out to be a psychiatrist. I think that's fantastic. I think kind of what, you know, Black Boot is alluding to is the fact that, you know, in America, when it comes to the Asian population, they are 20% more likely to wind up without a bachelor's degree. 20% more likely
not to wind up and still be wealthy.
And still gain that wealth, I think, is what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So according to this study, when they broke it down, right, the poverty rate among Nepalese American is 21% higher than the official poverty rate. It says Hmong Americans are 20% less likely to have a bachelor's degree or more than the average American, you know. But at the same time, you know, like I said, you know, earlier in this conversation, when you go to, you know, Asian restaurants, you're going to see Asians. When you go to Asian, when you go to get your nails done, get your feet done, get your hair done, you know, buy your beauty supply things, you know, you typically are going to see Asians, and you're going to typically see them buying their family. Or people that
That's
look
right.
like them. And so
That's
they
right.
don't have to go into $50,000 to $100,000 in student debt. You know, they able to, you know,
exactly.
they know that they're going to have a job right out of high school or whatever the case may be. They know their path is already kind of set for them, you know. And if they decide that they're going to, you know, aspire to be more, they can. You know, it's not that they're being held back. When you look into the Black community, one of the things that I have huge issues with is that, you know, they always preach education, education, education. Education is very important.
It's extremely important.
But my thing is like we have Blacks who are getting bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, you know, who are getting doctorates and still can't get a job. They still can't even find a job.
Let me ask you this right here. Did you think moms and pop stores had college degrees? I don't think so. I think they just came from, the, you know, just – built themselves up through the years. What you think?
You say mom
and pop. I mean, that's the whole point here, that they build up a economic base to where they don't have to have these worries about thinking that education is the key. Education isn't necessarily the key for everyone.
Well, no, I think people can make money. I know people who can make money and they didn't even go to college.
Most definitely. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. Like, what we're saying is we got about 90 seconds left on the air, and I got one more caller I want to squeeze in. But, like, what we're talking about, you know, is the fact that, you know, they don't have to go to school and can still have, you know, a decent lifestyle. Even with that being said, when it comes to Black America, it's like pull yourself up by your bootstrap. Go to college, get into this huge debt. And then when you do that, you're like, all right, where's the job? They're like, oh, well, you're not qualified. You don't have the experience. What do you mean?
Hello.
I just got a degree.
That's true.
Like I need an entry-level job so I can you know, build this up. And I want to get in, caller 0241. You have a question, a comment, contribute. We have less than 60 seconds.
Oh, man. I just want to say, I've been enjoying the conversation. Very insightful, and I definitely agree with the Black economics angle, and actually you just said pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I just wanted to know how you could go further and like dispel the myth of like you know, you got to do it by yourself, or this individualistic attitude, you know, that we get from America, when really everybody working together, like you said, except us. So I just wanted to see what y'all thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of that. I was going to say, just to piggyback off of that a little bit, when you talk about, you know, doing it by yourself, one of the things we got to do is stop thinking that when we have kids, we only got them for 18 years. You know,
right?
When, at 18, your kid shouldn't be kicked out of the house. You know, you shouldn't be like, well, I done my job. It's on you now. You know, like one of the things. You know, one of the things we have to do if we're going to, you know, seriously, and that's one thing I even talked to my fiance about, you know, it's like, you know, at the age of 18, I don't want our kids to feel like they have to go somewhere. I have a friend who is, I think he's like 25 now, and he's starting a business. He has a baby. You know, he's went to college, he played sports, but he lives at home with his parents. Blackmail. You know, and it's like he's able. He has the same job that I do, and doing something on the side because he has that freedom and luxury of one, not having that student debt, but more importantly, he don't have to worry about the cost of living when it comes to paying rent, when it comes to buying groceries, you know, paying a light bill, the mortgage, the you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, you know, when we talk about that, we as parents really going to have to, you know, do a lot of the work. That, you know, and rid ourselves of the brainwashing that, you know, that they try to put us on. So
that